If you've decided to remove hair color services from your menu as a hairstylist and you want to niche down on haircuts, this episode is for you. These are 10 things that I wish somebody had told me before I niched down and became a haircutting specialist. I love specializing. I'm a haircutting specialist and I specialize in the razor cuts and I also use my scissors. I love sculpting hair, which is why I called my company Sculpted Hair and Sculpted Academy. And I love the idea of just creating something out of nothing. You know, you have a client who comes in with like super flat hair and that doesn't have any volume or any shape, and then you go in there and you start carving into it and you start creating all these beautiful shapes, and suddenly they have movement and they can wash and go and they can tell all their friends about it, and you feel good, they feel good, and it's such a beautiful exchange of energy. And that's why I think hairdressing is one of the most amazing and fulfilling careers out there. If you're a creative person, you're also analytical, maybe you're both left and right brained, you're not all creative, you also have some analytical skills that you want to use, haircutting is just perfect. Hairdressing is great. I do want to remind you that I have a 30-day content calendar that you can use and reuse as many times as you want. If you are stuck on content ideas for your hair salon or your hair suite as a haircutting specialist or a hairstylist or a bridal stylist, it will be linked in the show notes, and this is completely free. There's also a free training on how to create passive income with Hair Story products. If you want to start carrying Hair Story and you're wondering about affiliate income, this is the class for you. Everything will be linked below. So let's get into it. Number one, it will take years, many clients, many free haircuts, and expensive classes to get good at haircutting. You may be a great haircutter right out of school. I definitely had a thing for haircutting from way before I went to hair school. I was cutting my own hair because I didn't like how hairstylists did my hair, and I learned how to cut my own hair using Haircutting for Dummies. And I did pretty well, if I do say so myself. I learned how to do my own layers, and I messed up a lot, but I could always figure out my way around a head shape and create kind of really beautiful textured haircuts. However, even if you're really good at haircutting, you still need to go to a different school and a different system to learn the fundamentals of haircutting. Hair school only teaches you the basics. In hair school, you're only going to learn just enough to pass the exam. So they're going to teach you a little bit of everything. You're going to learn a little color and learn a little bit of haircutting, and you're just going to learn like bacteriology and disinfection, which is extremely important, then the rest is up to you. So even if you want to become a blending specialist, you still have to take classes after getting out of school. And the amazing thing is about hair school is that it is only 10 months long, and then you have an apprenticeship depending on where you live. For me, I didn't have to do an apprenticeship. I went straight on the floor and I started working with clients right away and taking clients, cutting hair, doing color, and I found my niche in cutting, but I still had to take education. I subscribe to Hairbrained. I love their classes, and I follow people like Jude Viola. I love her work, and Jane from Edo Salon. We all know who she is. So you need to understand the architecture of haircuts, because haircuts are architectural, and you need to understand how to build a foundation, how to create volume, how to do all of the things that they don't teach you in school. So you can go to Vidal Sassoon, you can do Alilon Education or Tony and Guy, and a lot of these companies will give you like a 1 to 5 day kind of condensed classes for a period of time that you just pay up front, and then you show up and then they teach you everything, and then it's up to you to continue practicing. So you will have to continue after that doing free haircuts. The more haircuts you do, the easier it's going to become for you. The more things are going to start to click. For the longest time, I had no idea how to cut a bob. And then eventually I did a bunch of bobs one after the other. And one day it just clicked and bobs were no longer a problem for me. Now I feel super confident in cutting a straight blunt bob. Whereas before I would always do like an angled bob because it was easier to kind of hide the hair. But now I'm really good at it. So you'll need to offer a lot of free haircuts to build your skills, track your timing. So I'm an hourly stylist, and I will do another video on hourly pricing. So you need to track your timing. Do you need an hour for a haircut, hour 15, including consultation, or do you take your time and you need an hour and a half, 2 hours? So once you kind of find like your sweet spot, that's when you can start offering the menu that works for you if you decide to go off on your own and you're not working at a salon. You really learn to train your eye and to train your body position. You train your mind to really try to get a haircut as best as possible, the best haircut you can within the allotted time frame that you have. So before you know it, you'll be so good that you'll just know exactly what to do. Now, finding models, sourcing models, taking photos, I highly recommend that you video yourself so that you can see your technique. That's a full-time job on its own. It takes a lot of time to find the models and find people who are comfortable in front of the camera. So number two, school doesn't teach you the foundation. So we already talked about that. Hair school only teaches you the basics, which is different than the foundations. Teaching someone just enough to have them pass the exam is one thing, and teaching the foundations of haircutting is another. Most hair schools operate on churning out as many students as possible, as fast as possible, because they're private institutions, like any other private institution, like any other college or university, and they don't really care if you are going to make it out in the world. You get the degree and then you're gone, and they don't really follow up with you. They don't care if you're going to be successful or not. So it's on you to be successful. This is really, really important. I want to hammer this down. If you're just like graduating, if you're still a junior stylist, you need to know that nobody's really going to look out for you except you. You may find a mentor that you click with that really cares about you, but at the end of the day, success is all what you make, and it's all about you. The school's job is to give you a general teaching in all facets of hair, like a sampler packet, and your experience doing hair really comes down to the clients you get at the hair school's salon. The more clients you get, the better you're gonna get. Hopefully you don't get any perms and you get a lot of balayage if you want to do blonding, but since we're talking about haircutting here, I hope you get a lot of haircutting clients. I did a lot of highlights, trims, and funky pixies at school. So the clients that come to hair school salons are usually paying like $30 for a haircut or something like that, maybe $50 for a color, maybe $80 for a color, probably gone up by now. They know they're not gonna get a five-star service, and that relieves you of any pressure to be the best and really enjoy the process. So I urge you, if you're still in school, to really enjoy this time to be creative, and don't worry too much about your customer service or what your clients is going to think, because they know that they're getting their hair done by a student. So take as much time as you need and really enjoy the process. Don't rush to graduate. Make sure that you really take your time to learn and ask a lot of questions. And no matter what industry you're in, you will always have to invest in yourself, in your skills, and your growth, like we said. I do want to say that classes don't always have to be expensive. You can go on YouTube and watch Sam Via tutorials. I learned how to do the shag from a Sam Via tutorial, and then I just did it on a bunch of people and I loved it. And then I took Jane's classes, and then that's how like it all just kind of clicked in my head. And now I do shags with my eyes closed. Okay, number three, you will rely on retail to fill in the gaps in your schedule. As a cutting specialist, there are only so many add-ons that you can do alongside your haircut that add to your revenue, unlike a colorist who can add on toners, treatments, extra foils, etc. You can do treatments and glosses if you're comfortable with color. Retail becomes a super important add-on because with cutting people's hair comes educating them on how they're going to style it at home. You don't want to be that hair cutting specialist who just cuts hair and then tells your client goodbye, they go wash their hair with shampoo, and they use like waxy pomade from the drugstore. You want to educate them on how they're going to style their hair at home, how they're going to cleanse it. I use Hair Story New Wash because it's so creamy and it makes the hair just sit the way I want it to sit. And especially when my clients come in to wear their hair naturally, I always recommend New Wash and then all of the styling products because they work. So I know exactly what to recommend to my clients. So it's really important that you find a retail product that you really love and that you can recommend to your client. Again, I do have a free masterclass on how to create passive income with Hair Story. If you haven't gotten on it already, please check the links in my show notes or in this video if you're watching this on YouTube. So you want to recommend these products to them, and that will help you establish a connection with them, and they will know to come to you if they need any help. You want to work with product companies that don't force you to carry inventory and pay you a high commission when you do sell. So a lot of times we will carry a product line and we don't make a lot of commission after shipping fees. Usually the margin's like 50%. It's such a low margin that I really love Hair Story for this because their commission is 25% and they're such a wonderful company and their team is just amazing. I used to use Kevin Murphy, and nothing against Kevin Murphy. I love Kevin Murphy, but their products didn't work for naturally air drying hair, especially when you're working with shags or using shampoo. The shampoo frizzes up the hair, and then I genuinely didn't know which products to use to like let the hair dry. I just wanted like one product that would work, and I found Hair Bomb works the best. Undress is really great for volume. Lift is really good for curls as like a finishing spray. I love that I don't have to carry inventory and I get paid 25% commission, which is pure profit because I'm not carrying inventory. It's drop shipping, direct to consumer, and my clients get 15% off their first order. So it's a win-win for everybody. All right, enough about hair story. Let's move on to number four. You need so many more clients than hair colors. This one is the one that tripped me up the most, and I had no idea how lucky I was working in a salon where I was churning out clients one after the other. Although I don't recommend this because that will lead to burnout 100% of the time. You do need way more clients than a hair colorist. A hair colorist can take on 2-3 clients a day. They can have a full week with way less clients. So they can do 3 hours per client, and that's a full day for them. They can take 6 hours for one client, like a color correction. In one day, they will only have one client and they'll make really good money doing that. And then they go home and they're done for the day. As a hair cutter, you're churning out a client every hour, hour and a half, maximum 2 hours. If you're doing a really big transformation and you need a lot of refinement, maybe somebody has like a lot of hair and you just need like those 2 hours to refine the haircut. So let's say 2 hours, you're gonna need a lot more clientele going on your roster in order to make a living wage, whereas a colorist can be busy the whole day with just 2 or 3 clients. And you're looking over and you're like, wow, you're like busy all the time. And here I am like really struggling to find clients or fill my books. So you're gonna have more gaps in your schedule, which is such a bummer. You're gonna have to constantly hustle for new clients. The better you get, the faster you get, you're also going to be popping out clients like so quickly. You're gonna be like, oh my God, I just finished that haircut in 45 minutes. That's crazy. Like that's so quick. So now I need more haircuts. And if you're doing barbering, you're probably taking even less time to do haircuts. So you're just gonna need a ton of clients. Like you need a lot of clientele on your books. Unlike colorists who can fill up one day with 1 to 3 clients and charge more per hour, you need anywhere from 5 to 8 clients a day to make decent money as a haircut. Cutter. Multiply that by 5 days and you'll need 100 clients a month. Like it's crazy. So marketing yourself becomes very exhausting because you're constantly marketing. But side note, when you're in business, whether for yourself or you're working for somebody else, you should always think of yourself as an entrepreneur. You're always owning your own business because you are the business. You are the artist. Marketing and sales comes with what you're doing. If you're a hairstylist, your marketing and your sales have to be constant. You never stop marketing. You never stop selling. Also, haircut clients don't come in as often as hair color clients. Hair color clients like root retouches and highlights are in usually every 4 to 6 weeks unless they're getting balayage and their hair grows out beautifully, but they usually come in more often. And haircut clients, for me, they usually come in like very rarely at 3 months. Usually they come in at 6 months at a time because I do really soft layers and they grow out really beautifully. So they're not pre-booking because they don't know how long they're going to need to get their next haircut, whereas hair color clients are pre-booking. So you have a bit more security if you're doing color. So there is this sense of like insecurity when you're doing haircuts, which really sucks because nobody told me that this would happen. And I had so many gaps in my schedule and I'm like, I don't know when my next booking is coming from, even though it usually does fill up, but I didn't think of it going into that. And I think that should have been built into my business plan. I should have known that haircut clients don't come in as often, which means I either have to upsell them on coming in, telling them, you know, like really pushing pre-booking, you know, your hair is going to grow out a certain way. So do you want to pre-book in 3 months? So that should have been really built into the plan. This meant that I either had to introduce new services on the menu, get models, and charge them 50% of my rate to make income on my slow days or in the gaps when I have gaps in my schedule, and create marketing content because I need to make marketing content to bring in more clients, or run ads on Instagram. So that's going to take a little bit more money to do all of those things. All of those options meant more work, more hustle, and a little bit more panic. So I want you to know this. I want you to be sure that you want to become a haircutting specialist. Number five, it's a labor intensive job and there is high turnover. Hairstyling is labor intensive and it can get pretty exhausting. Sometimes you will work for 8 hours, 10 hours a day. Since we mentioned that haircuts don't bring in as much as color services and you need more clients, you will most likely be working on clients back to back with little to no breaks. At least with hair color, you have some time to go in the back room and chill and scroll your social media and eat, so you don't need to put in a lunch break. But with haircutting, it's like, I remember working in salons where I'm just finishing up one client and the next client is already sitting waiting for me. So if I walk away, they're just like panicking. I can see the panic on their faces. Like, where are you going? Like, come back. You need to do my hair. I'm like, yeah, I need a second. Like, I just need a break. And a break wasn't put into the schedule. So you really have to be very mindful of taking breaks. I'm not saying that hair colors don't have a very demanding job. They do. It's one of the reasons I don't do hair color. It really hurts my back. So I find like with hair cutting is much more gentle. I can sit on a saddle and work and cut hair. Lots of hairstylists leave the industry, not because they don't enjoy their job, but because the physical labor becomes too much to bear on their bodies. Your back, your legs, hello, spider veins, shoulders, neck can get very tense and can cause major issues. You will need special shoes, strength training, chiropractor on speed dial, and a massage subscription. Obviously, this goes for anyone who's working on their feet, but colorists have it easier because they can sit in the lunchroom and chill out while their client is processing. With haircutting, you have to be there to cut the hair and you don't get any time to step away unless you build it into the schedule. I used to do treatments and I would be like, oh my God, I'm just going to put a treatment on this client and I just need to go in the back room and take a breather because I am tired. So self-care becomes very, very important. You may wonder to yourself if this is worth it. Now, you can create the perfect scenario for you, how many days you want to work a week, how many clients you want to take, and how to price your services, but we can get into that into another video. So you can scale down and only work a couple of days a week. That may be a better fit for you, which means you would have to increase your prices to make up for the difference. Number six, clients' booking habits differ based on your location. When I was a junior stylist in downtown Toronto, I noticed that people would salon hop a lot. We had a lot of young clientele because they just moved into downtown core. They may be coupled up, they may be single, and they have really cool jobs. Like living downtown was like very transitory. So people will come in and then they move into a different neighborhood. Once they move into a different neighborhood, they go to the salon in that neighborhood. They don't come back to that old salon unless like you're amazing. I still have clients who followed me from Toronto, but I found that in Toronto, people would salon hop. Eventually they would couple up, move to the suburbs, or they, after the pandemic, they moved in with their parents in the suburbs and I didn't see them anymore. So again, there's a little bit of a hustle thing happening where you constantly have to get new clientele. They're not going to commute farther than 5 kilometers outside their condos, and they want everything, their gym, their coffee shop, and their hair salon to be within walking distance if they're living downtown. So working in a city, it always felt like I had to constantly get new clients and I had to constantly market myself because people were just not, I don't want to use the word loyal, but like they're just not as committed as people in the suburbs and getting their hair done at the same place. So I just felt like there was a constant state of instability because I couldn't predict my clients' buying behavior. I was like, are they coming? Are they not? Do we have to entice them with like a promo? Like, I don't understand what's going on and I need to be fully booked. Well, the salon at the time needed me to be fully booked. So compare that with a color client whose buying behavior is very predictable. They're booking out 6 weeks in advance. They know exactly what they're getting. And usually with hair color, people don't hop as much because they're like, once they find somebody who does really good color, they will continuously go back to that person, especially if it's blonding. And that's why I think people find the value in color more than haircuts. Luckily now, because of social media, haircuts are finally getting the love that they deserve and the attention that they deserve. So now haircuts are really valued and you can really price yourself and position yourself as a haircutting specialist and really be that amazing cutting specialist that people will go to and commute for. So luckily we are in that space now, but I still feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, let me know in the comments, if with hair color, people just value it just a little bit more than haircuts. So then I eventually moved out to the suburbs in 2020 and I found that the clientele in the suburbs are very much more regimented. They've bought a house, they have the kids, they have corporate jobs, and so they need things to be scheduled out. They love pre-booking. They're not going anywhere. They have their cottage, they have their routine, and they want their haircuts to be part of their routine. So I found much more peace of mind in the suburbs. I felt much more stable financially. I knew that people were constantly going to come back to me, and I didn't feel this like constant hustle that I felt in the city. So it's really, really important that you know your location and your clientele. If you live in a conservative town, you won't find enough clientele wanting shags and razor cuts and fun bobs. You might, but not as much as if you were living in the city. Not enough to keep you busy. So haircutting may not be the best way for you to go. You might want to continue to do color until you're willing to transition and find the clientele that you want to work with, because what we do is so location dependent. We can't work remotely. We need to be where our clients are living. So if you want to specialize in shags, razor cuts, mullets, you have to be in a cool, hip part of town, or at least even if it's in the suburbs, there could be a lot of young people who like that kind of look, but generally you're going to find that more in the city. So if you want to do fun haircuts, you have to relocate to the city, or at least to a town where there is a significant amount of young people who want to stand out in their look. So you're looking at San Francisco, New York, Austin, Toronto, Montreal, where all the cool kids hang out. Okay, number 7, pricing haircuts can be so challenging. I found it wild what some people think a haircut should cost, or what is the value of a haircut. I had more of a challenge back in like 2019 when people would just gawk at $100 haircut, but they would not bat an eyelash if you quoted them $100 for an updo. The updo lasts like 3 hours, the haircut lasts 3 months. This comes back to just value, marketing, brand positioning. You gotta show how good you are if you want to charge a lot of money for what you do, and you have to constantly be getting better. Maybe it's because for years, hairstylists were afraid to charge for haircuts and added them on as an add-on to make a few extra bucks on top of a color service. It's like sometimes there's still these salons where you go in and you get a haircut, hair color, and a blowout is like extra, or a toner is extra. A toner should never be extra. If you're doing blondes, like that should be part of the service. I'm not gonna let you walk out with no toner. So a lot of times the old school way was to add on a haircut as a, oh, it's just like a quick trim. There's really no art to it. There's no movement in the hair. People really got conditioned into believing that a haircut shouldn't cost a lot of money. So a lot of times these stylists didn't improve their skills and they just did boring haircuts, and the clients thought that all haircuts should be priced at no more than $50. In order to specialize in cuts, you are now in a position where you have to teach your clients why you are different and why you are charging more than the market price that they are used to. Marketing becomes incredibly essential to set yourself apart. Show people what they can have. This goes back to doing free haircuts. Do models at 50%. You have to show your skills and you have to show up online. Show them how incredible you are at sculpting hair and how detailed you are when it comes to choosing the correct length of bangs based on the client's eyebrow shape, hair growth pattern. Talk about it. Talk about everything that you do. You're creating a brand new business that not a lot of people understand, so you will have to push to be seen. When I saw that people were willing to pay me $100 for an updo, but didn't want to pay $100 for a haircut, it blew me away. I was thinking, but I'm using $1,000 scissors. Like my scissors are $1,000. My texture shears are $500. My razor is like $200. And I trained and I'm taking classes and I can give you hair that you just wash and go. Like, wouldn't that be amazing? So talk about the value of what you're doing. I should be talking about all of those things. I'm giving you something that's going to grow out beautifully. And so $100 is like nothing compared to the value that you're gonna get. Number 8, marketing yourself is essential. Because not everyone understands what goes into a haircut and they don't understand the value, your job is now to show them who you are behind the chair. Show them who you are. Actually show them yourself, your energy, your values. Talk about yourself. Talk to them about your shears and the different ways you cut your clients' hair. So you could talk about how you have 5 clients all wearing the same haircuts and every single one looks completely different on every single person because of their head shape, their hair texture, their hair density, their hair growth pattern, and how they style it and their lifestyle. And that's the kind of thing that clients really need to know. They're frustrated with their hair. They just want to find someone who understands how to work with hair. Once you talk about that, those people are going to be like, I need that person to tell me what to do with my hair. Because people are just looking to solve their problems. And most people are very frustrated with their hair. There are very few people who actually love their hair. Even I get frustrated with my hair all the time. And I wish somebody could just cut my hair and style it for me every single day. So be that person who helps people. Visuals are everything in haircutting. Videos are everything in haircutting. So get on TikTok, get on Instagram, get on YouTube and show off your skills and be consistent and have fun doing it. And get really fun clients, like get really fun models and have fun with it. If you're having a rough time coming up with ideas on what to post, I've created a free download, 30 days of content ideas, and that will be linked in the show notes. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it is down below. You provide way more than just a haircut. People come to you to become more of themselves. It took me a while to really understand this. People wear their hair as their identity. It's like their clothing, how they sound, how they want to be perceived in the world comes down to how they wear their hair. So their hair is a part of their identity, and they're coming to you because you show them who they believe they are. And if you can see through that, if you're somebody who's grounded in your energy and you understand how to translate that person's inner being in their hair and in their image and in their energy, you win. That is exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for someone who gets it, who can read between the lines, who can understand their vision, what they're trying to say, even though they may not be making sense. They might show you five different photos, none of them really make sense to you, but once you start probing and you talk to them and you're patient and you get what they're saying, then you start to kind of uncover and peel away the onions. You're a therapist, right? But you have to stay grounded in your energy and you have to be a visionary. And once you do that, then you can really sculpt out the haircut that they want. And I think I always feel like with haircutting, it's like I feel like a Michelangelo sometimes. I am bringing out a shape from something that is dead, that is just laying there flat, and I'm going in and I'm creating a brand new shape with structure and movement that frames a person's face. You're sculpting a sculptor, and you have to be that translator. So haircuts can literally change people's lives and reveals a new identity for people. If they're going through something, they've just graduated, they've gotten a new job, they've gone through a breakup, they just got married, like really big transitions, maybe they were bullied about their hair. You are that safe space for them. Hair salon is a safe space for people. So make sure that your environment reflects that and take care of your own energy. Clients tell me that the haircuts they get with me elevate their identity. Whether it's a butterfly haircut or a pixie, they tell me this is me. I love my hair when I look at myself in the mirror. I feel more sexy. I feel more brave. I feel like myself. This is taking me back to my youth. I feel so much younger. I feel so hip. I feel so cool. I feel sexy. I feel like a woman. You are literally helping them see themselves. It's not about you. It's all about them. So quick note that there's been a lot of talk about haircutting specialists and hair colors talking about how they're just artists. And like, it's really not about the client. It's about us. And we need to price our worth and blah, blah, blah. And I have a lot of ideas about that and a lot of thoughts about that. It really is about the client. It's really not about us. We are channels, and the client can only really get as much as you're willing to put in. And it's not fair for us to just show up not fully present, because we're the artists. We get to be wild and we can charge whatever we want. The client is the boss. Like, if you don't want to be in service, don't do this, because this is a service-based industry. Bold haircuts like shags, pixies, and mullets scream individuality, nonconformity, and they tell a person with a story. It's all about the person. Remember that. Number 10. And this is my favorite one. You have such a low overhead as a cutting specialist. Hair colors have such a high overhead. They need foils and they need color brushes. They need tangled teaser brushes. They need a ton of towels and they need all of the colors under the sun. They can't be caught without having the right color for their clients. But as a cutting specialist, all I have are my scissors, texture shears, razors. I have two razors. So I have a straight razor and a guarded razor. I have my hot tools, hair dryer, diffuser, styling products, all hair story, and like my brushes, like that's it. And everything fits in one carry-on. I have my new wash, which are in big back bar sizes. And I have some toners because sometimes I like to do toners and Olaplex treatment, but I could carry that easily. But as a colorist, you have a much higher overhead and you have a much bigger kit. So as a cutting specialist, just having that small kit should make you feel free and rich, because you're going to be making so much more money than a colorist. Once your tools are paid off, off, then everything you make after that is pure profit. Whereas with a colorist, they're constantly having to replenish. Your tools are gonna last you for decades. I love nothing more than the sweet sound of more money in my pocket because of low overhead. My overhead consists of my tools, which are already paid for, my chair rental, my insurance, and my car. Final thoughts. I'm not saying that colorists don't have any issues and you should become a hair colorist and throw out your haircutting dream, because I did mention that hair colorists have it better sometimes, but the world needs more experienced, passionate haircutters who understand the beauty of the craft and dedicate their lives to it, because there are so many people who need really good haircuts. If you have a passion for haircutting, pursue it. You can still do color because there are not enough hairstylists who do cuts, and there are a lot of people who cut hair and hairdressers who cut hair, and they do it all wrong. And they are scared. They don't want to pick up the razor. They don't want to learn. They don't want to educate themselves on new ways to cut hair. They don't know how to cut bangs. They don't know how to cut layers. If you have a good haircut and all you have to do is wash and go, then you are giving your client such a gift. Haircuts are not as easy of a sell. I wish someone had warned me about this before I dove in with both feet, but this is why I'm doing this video. And I hope you found this video helpful. Again, everything will be linked in the show notes. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. I will see you in the next one.